lying.
And what about with the United States? I mean, you have President Biden now announcing $1 billion of military weapons in the pipeline for Israel, including $700 million for tank ammunition, $500 million in tactical vehicles, $60 million in mortar rounds. The significance of what position the U.S. takes and what Biden is doing.
He supports Israel in its, to continue the war. I mean, that's I see no other explanation to this. I mean, all his words that he's worried about Rafah or Famine or whatever. So it's such hypocrisy that I feel almost speechless. On the one hand they are sending aid, or they say that they are sending aid, but it takes so long and it is so little. And on the other hand, they encourage Israel to continue with the war against Gaza, where we see that already Israel is defeated. I mean, it's defeated. If such a huge military power is still fighting Hamas after 8 months, it doesn't give anything good to the Israelis. I mean, except of some groups that want it to continue.
Five seconds.
Yeah. But for the majority of Israelis, it's clear that the majority of Israelis understand, even though they support the war on the one hand, they understand it's against them, too.
Longtime Israeli journalist and author Amira Haas, Haaretz correspondent for the Occupied Palestinian Territories. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming online at kboo.fm.
The flowers are blooming, the birds are singing, and KBOO's Spring Membership Drive is back. If you enjoy alternative radio that pushes the status quo, then support KBOO by becoming a member today. Donate online at bit.ly/KBOO between now and May 25th and support Avant-Garde Airwaves. You can also text KBOO to 44321. Thank you so much for your support.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. This month's Development Committee meeting will be held on Monday, May 20th at 4:30 p.m. The meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Good morning. You are listening to The Gap here on KBOO Portland. This is KBOO's most listened to talk radio show on Friday at 8 a.m. when we are on, and no one can ever take that away from us. I'm Tammy, and with me is Althea Billings.
Hello and good morning. How are we doing? Oh, getting a round of applause. Wow, thank you so much.
Can you hear it everywhere?
The asthma for the listener has to be incredible.
Can you hear it?
I can hear it, yeah.
On different side, was it phonetic? Not phonetic.
Stereo?
Stereo, mono?
Stereo. I don't know. We might be in mono. I'm not sure.
I can't even hear myself, so.
Oh, you can't?
I like it, though. I like it.
Okay. Hearing's overrated. You heard it here first. I know you're listening to us, but it's overrated.
I don't have to listen to myself. Anyways, yeah. How have you been?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm all right. Enjoy this weather. Loving it. I got the 80-degree weather earlier this week. I wore my shorts.
Yeah.
And I said to myself, maybe get some new shorts.
I know. That's exactly the position I've been in. And here's the thing. I was trying to get out ahead of it. I was trying to get out ahead of it in March. I was like, I know I'm going to need new shorts. I need to go to the thrift store and find something, some pants to cut off.
There you go. That's the.
And I was thwarted at every turn because, wouldn't you know it, women's clothing sizes are, say it with me, meaningless.
Make no sense.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, it's such an odd, like, and then different stores, and then it depends on the pant itself.
Yeah, it depends on the brand, depends on what they want to do to you.
Sound like lying.
So, yeah, I think perhaps the real solution is figuring out what my measurements are so then I could go buy men's pants, maybe? I don't know.
I've gotten men's pants before, and they...
Men's pants?
Men's...
Sorry.
Men's pants.
That's how they say it, so I don't know why you wouldn't say it that way.
And they're, like, in the 30s, so it's, like, 30... Yeah,
your waist measurement, yeah. And your inseam.
Inseam, yeah.
They don't let women have that. I don't know why.
We got what?
They won't. They don't let us do measurement. Well, they
what
barely
are you
let.
In there?
Yeah, exactly. Well, this is The Gap Talk Radio on Fridays with me, Althea, and my co-host Tammy. We like to do a two-parter type of show. Sometimes we're doing an interview in the first half. Sometimes we are doing. A news roundup, a news roundhouse kick to the face, we like to say. That's boom. That's what we're doing today. And then in the second half of our show is when we open up the phone lines for our community questions. So stick around for 8:30 when we would love to have you talk with us about what we want to talk about. And before we get too deep into things, we do want to remind folks that it is KBOO's spring membership drive. Now is a great time to become a member of KBOO. Support the programming you love. bit.ly/KBOO is the website. That's bit.ly/KBOO. You can also text the word KBOO to the phone number 44321. You can also mail things to us. We love getting mail. We love getting fan mail. We love, you know, you got a cool card. You don't know where to send it. Send it here. 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97035.
Get yourself on the wall.
Wait, that's the wrong. I gave the wrong.
Did you give your address?
I gave my address. Oh my god.
Oh my god.
No, I gave the wrong zip code. 97214. That's what it is. I'm always doing that. Tammy's laughing at me now. The people who are good at mailing things know where to send it. All right. Anyway,
and
let's get into it.
A wall of appreciation.
There
beautiful.
Is. It goes up in the studio.
Yeah.
You know, we love to reflect on those.
It
things.
Is beautiful. The cards, very
it's
nice.
On the thing. I'm a goofball. Anyway, what news items would you like to talk about?
Well, I see a lot of things happened this week.
Yeah.
A lot of things. I'm not going to even say that. You know what? Nothing happened this week.
Whoa.
Whoa. Haven't heard that in a while.
Hey, nothing new to report. We're just going to sit here quietly.
Before we get into the news, because there is, you know, a lot of news stuff
we
happening.
Do like to do local stuff, yeah.
There is the, what do you want to start about the portal?
Just yeah, there was chit-chat? This. There was a portal.
For those who don't know,
there
was an art installation that was a built portal, not one that came from...
space or...
Or like the depths of the earth or something.
Right. I mean, calling it a portal seems odd.
I was kept calling it an orb because I'm like, it's something supernatural.
Right. I mean, it's more of a window than a portal. But basically, it's kind of like a big video call from the streets of NYC to the streets of Dublin.
Dublin, Ireland.
Ireland.
Yes.
Yeah. Is there another one?
Who knows? You know, there's like 15 borings in all of America.
We can't even have that to ourselves. Dublin, America?
There's
a city in Ohio.
See, that does make sense. I could see that.
Oh, that would be funny.
I wonder if it's heavily Irish.
Maybe.
But anyways, the New York City to Dublin portal was, I'm not sure why they, I guess it was an art installation, but, you know, in true fashion, we can't have nice things, or we can, but for a limited amount of time before people start showing themselves on there.
Yep.
Their body parts on there.
Yes, yeah.
But in the defense of New Yorkers, Dublin did start it first with a joke on about 9/11, which was not inappropriate.
Yeah.
but you got New Yorkers going to do what New Yorkers going to do.
Yeah. They retaliated with
their
again,
bodies.
Yeah, exposing themselves. I'm just doing a little bit of reading on Dublin, Ohio. Highest concentration of Asian Americans of any Ohio city.
Oh, wow.
In Dublin. I mean, I think they got Irish stuff going on, too. But anyway, just thought maybe we'd like to give a shout out to Dublin, Ohio, if you know
anybody
there.
You heard of 1816,
yeah.
But not...
Many people are not talking about this suburb of Columbus, but we are here. That's why we're unique. That's why you should support KBOO.
That's bit.ly/KBOO.
Anyway, the portal.
Yeah, and then so I guess they're going to shut it down now.
Well, I think they're going to try to bring it back.
Well, if they brought it in, well, we're talking about it. It's like if they did this in 1995.
Yeah. We'd be really impressed.
But now the fact that anyone can pick up their phone and you know.
It's kind of just a Zoom call.
It was a Google View, you know?
Yeah. Street View.
Although it is neat. I appreciate it. But yeah. It does. I appreciate people trying to bring people together during these unprecedented times.
Totally.
In man's pants.
I mean, I did see some videos of people like, oh, I met with my pen pal, like through the thing, and they like hold up little signs to like say hello to each other. And it's like, isn't that's so sweet. We should have those all over the place.
I would appreciate, if you could have a portal, where would it be to?
Oh, I don't know. Mm. Well, it's interesting that they can't talk to each other. Which, I mean, I understand the logistics of that, but it is just a window into what's going on a street in Dublin. So it's like, hey.
That's almost more intimate a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Well, and people, you know, I've certainly expressed some skepticism about it, but, you know.
It's not real, or?
No, I just mean like, oh, what's the point? But it's a reflection onto ourselves, you know? Whatever we want to transmit to Dublin, Ireland is also reflected back on us.
Literally, know? Yeah. And I think it's also interesting, it's, you know, just the cultures of, you know, Dubliners and New Yorkers, you know, they're a little rough around the edges, you know, I'm walking here, what you doing, hey, mate, I don't know, they don't say mate, but you know what I'm trying to say, they're...
Yeah.
I'm putting my fists up. That's
totally. Well, I mean, there's a thing that like
Sister cities.
Yeah, sister cities. There should be a portal to your sister city.
Well, I think that isn't there like a little Portland in Japan or something? That would be fun to have a portal there.
I think so. We have a few. Guadalajara, Mexico.
Oh, that's
Ulsan,
not too far.
South Korea. Suzu, Japan. We got one in Taiwan. We got one in Russia. We got one in Zimbabwe. We got one in Israel. We got a lot of sister cities. Oh, and our oldest one is with Sapporo, Japan, since 1959.
See, that's what I'm saying. So that's where they have Little Portland in Japan, and they have like IPAs and stuff.
That's so funny.
It is very sweet. The dream of Portland is alive in Japan.
Yeah, the dream isn't alive in Sapporo.
Very sweet.
Where would you want the portals to go to? Well, because it's not... I just think it shouldn't be called a portal.
What? Look at you.
It should be called a window. You can, like a portal you walk through.
Oh.
A door is a portal. A window is a window.
What is a rose by any other name?
Right. When God closes a window, he opens a... Portal.
Yes.
But also it is funny to think of, if it was something that you could walk through, it's like zoop, then you're in like Dublin, Ireland. It's like, wow, what? It feels a little random.
Well, don't tell Boeing.
No. Ew. Oh, well, or do, and say, hey, stop, you got to stop killing your whistleblowers if you don't want us to build portal technology.
Portal.
Carrot and stick.
I was saying, what's it?
Maybe they're suppressing it for Boeing.
Boeing's been real quiet since this portal started.
Quiet.
That's all I know. But speaking of portals and being quiet.
Okay.
Trump v. Biden, round two, ooh. Electric Boogaloo, coming to a TV near you. I can't stop rhyming.
I know. Oh my God. let her go.
I couldn't stop. Coming to a television near you in June. And September.
June and September.
Back to school? More like you're going to get schooled.
Yeah. Do you want to do entering the ring?
Entering the ring from one side of the stadium, dripping an orange, 135 pounds of preserved Diet Coke and McDonald's. That's Donald D. Trump on the other side.
D. Trump. Different guy.
Donald J. Trump on the other side, 100 pounds of flesh, and he's trying real hard. Biden.
Tammy really wants to be like a wrestling announcer.
Or something, you know. I'm excited. I'm all for it. Changing up things a little bit.
Yeah.
Put it on your watch. And we haven't gotten a...
4 long years since we did this.
A showdown like this in 4 long years.
Yeah.
Remember last time you said, what did he tell you? He said, shut up, buddy, or something like that. You hush your mouth, buddy.
And then... It was like, shut up, man, or something. Which is one of those ones where he like says something cranky and it's funny.
Yeah.
And then there's other times where you're like, hey, stay on topic, please. In his little video, he said, make my day, pal.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Which I feel like his social media team has discovered that, like, people really respond to Biden, like, vaguely quoting 80s action heroes.
It's familiar, giving the people what they want. Yeah, and people do want this.
Yeah.
This is true. God, I wish I could get tickets to this.
Wasn't there, like, a big fly? Or no, maybe I'm just trying to think of...
Oh, yeah, that was with, what's his name?
The vice president's, maybe?
It was maybe Pence or
someone.
Oh, yeah,
it landed on Pence's hair.
It did, like, the... What's a movie where, like, they have the Silence of the Lambs?
Oh, I was going to say The Fly? Not that one.
Given Silence of the Lambs on... Lamps. What's happening with me today?
Just a big ol' fly.
But it seems as though they are going to be having these presidential debates, but not through the commission of the presidential
debates. Which is odd. And well, also, you know, tough day for the Commission on Presidential Debates.
Don't get me started about why I think they did that.
Why?
Well, all right, you got me started. Because I think that Biden doesn't want Kennedy around because I think that Kennedy gives people a third option. And I think that he doesn't want it. And
yeah. They would maybe put him up there, too?
I mean, I think they would have. He's running for president.
Well, yeah. I mean, sometimes they do often restrict it. Because, I mean, like, they haven't had Jill Stein up there with them or anything like that. But maybe RFK. You heard about the worm in his brain?
That was 30 years ago. You let this man be.
I'm sorry. It's not every day you get a... And first of all, anyone you know with a worm in their brain that we know about, that they survived. And then also that they're running for president.
So that's a double whammy, you're saying?
Yeah.
Coming to a TV.
Maybe I just need
you.
To meet more people.
Was it that he, like, ate something and it got into his... Is that
I,
what it was?
I don't know the whole story.
Anyways.
Something about him eating too much tuna and then the worm died because there was so much mercury in his brain.
Well, that's what he's trying
is
to
get. Is that real?
I don't know about that, but I know
I'm going to do some Googling so
he
I'm
did
not
clean
spreading
up the
this
Hudson. Internet. I'll give him that much.
He did? Oh, yeah. Well, that's great. RFK Jr. brain worm? Is that my search term?
Okay. This was 20 years ago. People always want to bring up old stuff, old news. Let the man be.
He said it.
No, if he did
it. It was not. It was 2010.
That's
14 years ago.
That's over a decade. Switching things around. That'll be an interesting thing to watch. Huh. Well, we will watch that, keep you posted in all the Biden Trump.
I think
happenings.
They should also have to pass a field sobriety test as a part of this debate. Thoughts?
I mean, if they're given a sample, I don't think either one of them was going to pass. I think they both need a little to get them up and going.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, maybe so. I wanted them to have to, like, put one foot in front of the other and walk in a straight line. Just sort of see where we're at with that.
They might be doing it, but they'll be jogging down. They won't be walking. I think giving them enough uppers to get me running.
Allegedly.
Sure.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Allegedly. Thank you.
Okay. Should we go local?
Yes.
Let's talk about what we really know.
Yeah, some local stuff happening this week as well. Go ahead, Althea.
Well, where do you want to start?
Guess we could start with this the new camping ban article from Street Roots. You put it up here for us.
A very thorough encapsulation of what's going on in City Hall with the new public camping ban from Street Roots. This is written by Kay Rambo. Kind of going more in depth than some of the stuff that we talked about last week with the Grants Pass v. Johnson case. And so this passed City Council recently. They don't say when they're going to enforce it. Hard to say if it's even legally enforceable, right? Because the last camping ban was, that's right, people, shut down by judges because it would likely infringe on people's rights. And there's some interesting sort of like walking around the issue with words. It's not a time, place, and manner ordinance. But it does sort of create this structure. I mean, it just, look, does it seem fully baked? No, I'd say put it back in the oven. It does seem like it's banking on the Supreme Court overturning Martin v. Boise, which may or may not happen, doesn't seem super likely. But it does kind of introduce this thing that Kay terms in the article as a shelter or arrest ultimatum. Because what they're trying to interpret court precedent as saying is like, hey, you can't sweep somebody from sleeping on public property if you don't have an alternate shelter for them to go to. And part of the issue is that we don't have enough shelter for people to go to. We only have enough for about a third of the people who are unsheltered homeless each night in Multnomah County. And that's kind of like the standard, right? Is like, if there's somewhere else to go, you can get somebody to move, but we haven't had that. So that's why this problem is happening. There's not enough housing. We know this.
Like shelter housing.
Shelter housing. Yeah. Or any type. And then you can get into all the reasons that like congregate shelters aren't really great to begin with. But basically they're trying to, that you can get arrested if you refuse shelter is one of the things that mm-hmm. they're saying, but there's not enough shelter. So then there's this question of, would they keep some beds open, like restrict them from people who are going, you know, of their own volition and wanting to stay there for the night so that they could arrest somebody? Or like, you have to go to this, you know, location, otherwise we'll arrest you. And then, you know, legal experts are saying that's not really what that's not really what any of this has been about, and probably would not, you know, hold up in court, because it's less about, is there somewhere for one person to go, and is there, you know, enough capacity for, like, that's just not how they think about those numbers, basically. Anyway, they're getting sued as soon as they tried to enforce it. We can call that shot.
Yeah, but there's also, the Joint Offices of Homeless Services do they need some? I don't know. I feel like they need some support. I feel like there needs to be a little bit more transparency, and I haven't felt that coming from them. And I'm being so diplomatic right now, and I just haven't felt a full type of transparency coming from them. And I think it's mucking up the water a little bit with trying to figure out, like, I just can't see clearly what is happening, because I think there's a lot of trying to conceal. I'm not out of, like, in a bad way. Just, there isn't the lack of transparency. Yeah. I'm not saying people are actively concealing, but there's lack of transparency.
Yeah. And there's all of these, like, layers of bureaucracy. And, I mean, we've seen what the audits have shown of the Joint Office. They're not like, hey, good job, the Joint Office. You solved it. That hasn't quite happened yet. I mean, you know, I think this time last year, the city of Portland was talking about ending the contract with them, and, you know, what that would have looked like. And, you know, there's all of this stuff. And also that the Joint Office isn't like a super old organization to begin with, you know, like I think it started in 2016 as like a partnership between Multnomah County and the city of Portland to try to address this issue. And so far, I wouldn't say that we've hacked it yet. I hope that's not telling tales out of school.
They have been putting a lot of resources into it, though. And more recently, I've seen, I've seen a lot of the camps around my area. I've seen them. I was going to say I haven't been seeing as many people, but I'm realizing, that's because they had like a huge sweep like last month. Huge. Yeah. I mean, multi-day, like multiple, it was Dang. Like and you know, you got to think, this is people's resource, it's a lot of resources that's going into this,
right?
And then was it last or in March, I didn't realize this, but there's been some changes in the homeless response action plan, like commission or group, and there's just a lot of people, like, turnover. There's so much turnover, which is something that they also mentioned in one of their audits from the Joint Offices, is that there's just a lot of turnover and a lot of losing institutional knowledge. Then, you know, also brought the point 2016, which, yes, there can be institutional knowledge for sure. It's almost like, you know, 7-8 years, whatever. I can't do the math, but I don't know. Maybe the auditor is doing a really great job.
The auditor is on everybody's business.
Yes. Super nosy to be that. I'm telling you. Can't you saying no is not an answer for the auditors.
No, you cannot. Anyway, I just wanted a little update the folks on the camping ban and the legal, I guess, peril that would happen if and when they decide to enforce it. What story would you like to talk about next?
Let's see. Oh man. So I guess someone's getting sued.
Oh yeah. we love to talk about lawsuits on this program. Environmental and transportation advocates are suing ODOT over their Rose Quarter expansion plans, if you can believe that.
The I-5 expansion people are freaked up. So what are the girls going to say about them now?
So there's a new lawsuit. And, I mean, this is my anecdotal thing. It does kind of seem like ODOT is losing steam on this whole I-5 expansion business. Doesn't really seem like, I mean, because one, they don't have the funding for it. They did just get a big influx of cash from the federal government to cap the area, because there was like to cover it and to build on top of it, right, to reconnect Lower Albina. The feds are helping to fund that. There's projects like it actually all around the country because, you know, bulldozing black neighborhoods in the 60s to build the highway was not just a Portland thing. So there's money to cap it, but there's not money to expand it. And there's plenty of reasons not to expand it, I would say. One of which, shout out to Ray, pointed out, it would just move the bottleneck somewhere else in the chain, no? not necessarily a long-term solution. And then also, like, in the context of we have to replace the Interstate 5 bridge, and that's going to get a whole bunch bigger. Have you seen those mock-ups, by the way?
Oh, no, not at all.
This is my opinion. So ugly. What is wrong with us that we can't build a beautiful bridge? And look, I know that the other one is over 100 years old and is standing on toothpicks in the sand. Yeah. I'm not saying it should be like that, but it is ugly.
And the engineers of yesteryear, where are you at?
Oh, my gosh. Let me find a link to it, because I mean, I think I'm scandalized by, I just think it, can we get, let's get some artists up in here. Let's make it look, we need this to stand for 100 more years, and you're telling me it has to be a big cement block?
We don't, beautification is a, you know, it's a, you gotta, what's the difference between try and triumphant, Althea? It's that little oomph.
Ooh, she got me there.
This, I want to read this quote from this ODOT article.
Oh, yeah,
it's absurd for ODOT to claim that their proposed $1.9 billion 10-lane highway is in compliance with the city's existing plan for climate action. For climate action, sustainable transportation investment, or neighborhood development. 10-lane highway. Hello, brother. California. I got a contender for. Come on this side of the aisle. You like it rainy? Are you like a 10-lane highways where it always rains? Portland, Oregon. On the other side, a desert with 11.5-lane highways. California.
Yeah, yeah. It's not. It's a lot of lanes. It's a lot of lanes for an urban area.
Two lanes. I'm sorry. No one here signals with their turn signal. And I'm not saying it's specifically for this, but I got eyes and I drive. I'm sorry. These are my experiences.
Yeah.
Turn signals. Right. You can't turn from left to right to middle. People can't switch lanes without it being a whole production. Mm-hmm. So you're trying to tell me 10 lanes? Oh,
not to get religious, lanes. But I don't know if we deserve it.
What have we done?
What have we done to deserve? Well,
that's a question no one asks. No one asks.
If we deserve to have more lanes, are we doing enough with the other ones? And not to be, you know, overly, I don't know. If you scroll down on that thing I linked, by the way, you can see the renderings. Not to belabor a point or anything, but so much of that, like, traffic in that area is people going to and from Vancouver. So, like, if we had, for example, a TriMet line that ran regularly from downtown Vancouver to downtown Portland or out to Hillsborough or Beaverton or wherever people are working, like, I do think that would probably take some cars off the road. But, I mean, sue me. I mean, don't. But
well, don't, because I find it finished.
When you're done finishing suing ODOT.
I have a neighbor that lives down the street, Shirley Nanette, shout out, and she always complains about how there's no parking in the neighborhood, and she's like, we used to have shuttles. What happened to shuttles? I'm like, yeah, what happened to shuttles?
That is a great point.
I totally remember, even like as a young kid, I remember like getting on shuttles, and then because there'd be like the big places or neighborhoods or areas that people go to on the weekends or holidays, whatever. And they're usually, you know, the shuttles are good-looking bridges and shuttles, a thing of the past. We can bring it back, though. This looks like a...
This is our campaign platform now. We're bringing shuttles, and we're bringing a bridge. Do you see this bridge rendering, by the
very,
way?
It looks very, like...
There's, like, a slideshow. Do you see these?
Yeah, it looks like a bridge from, like, the East Coast. Just
but, like, the Key Bridge that fell down, that was a nicer-looking bridge. They got huge bridges in Florida that look a lot better than this.
Get Florida Man up in here.
Get a Florida man to design a nicer looking bridge. This is so... It just upsets me that it looks so bad. This one, I guess, isn't that bad, but it has to be concrete colored. I mean, I don't know.
Is it the color that's a problem for you?
It's just how much cement it is. And it just, like, looks like an... I don't know. And it's not... And don't call in saying it's brutalist. Okay, brutalist, there's an intention behind it. Mm-hmm. This is a lack of any ambition. You know, this is the connecting line between Vancouver and Portland. This is the connecting line between Washington and Oregon. We can't put a little bit more special spice in there? What? This is a handshake between our two states.
Is Washington putting up any money for this?
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm hearing a whole lot of ODOT, ODOT.
They're going to pay for half.
I want them to... are they matching the 1.9 bill? Or mil?
No, I mean, that's the thing. That's why the last one fell apart is because... Oh, God, look at this one. It's so ugly. I'm so sorry.
I'm chalking it up to that.
Get me in the 3D rendering. I don't know. Maybe this is a silly point.
I think that's a great pitch. You can go up to them and be like, listen, this is the connecting, this is that the handshake in which the foundation of our.
This is the Pacific Northwest.
I'm doing two hands.
She's shaking her hands together. We should shake it. It's this.
There it is. I want to shake your hand. I think that's a great pitch. I think they'll take it more seriously that way. I'm not even being sarcastic. I think that is a great pitch.
That's nice of you to say. I just... that started bugging me. I don't know why.
We have a couple more.
Oh, yeah.
We can fit into it.
Yeah, well, let's squeak those in there. Wanted to mention that Winco has a settlement for Portland area shoppers.
Someone's getting sued.
Somebody's getting sued. Part Actually, somebody two. Got sued, oh. And there's a settlement that perhaps you or your neighbor might be entitled to, because basically Winco was adding a surcharge to customer receipts on top of prices to try to pawn off their PCF tax.
No way.
Yeah. And wouldn't you know it, that's not illegal. That's illegal.
What? Were you or someone you know were charged with being paid a surcharge on certain non-grocery items at Winco store located within the city of Portland, Oregon between June 1st, 2019 and May 8th, 2022? You could get compensation from a class action lawsuit.
Yes, that's...
So they were trying... So you could get
up to $200, they're saying.
They were trying to tax me their own taxes?
Yeah.
And I can't do that. I can't.
Yeah. Well, perhaps the legal issue is that they, instead of, because I guess they are, legally permitted to raise the price of stuff, but they don't want to raise the price. So, whatever the sticker price, by the time you get to the register, they're saying, actually, PCF, on top of that, it's costing it, an extra $5 or whatever. That's nasty work. That's nasty work. That's not okay. $200.
I'm shocked. I'm shocked because
Winco denies the allegations and any wrongdoing.
That's what I'm putting that out there. I'm shocked. Too.
I don't know the allegations of the plaintiff, by the way.
I feel but personally offended
but
for some reason.
It's a class action lawsuit, you know?
Is that why I feel personally offended? Because it's class action.
I want
the class.
I wish I could recall the whole mesothelioma class action lawsuit. Have you or a loved one? Yeah, you were doing it earlier.
Well, that's why that's exactly what it looked like. This is not cool. I'm not a big fan of that.
Hey, what the hell?
Also,
because they're making money. The only reason that they even qualify to pay is because the Portland Clean Energy Fund tax is because they are raking it in billions of dollars. Okay? It's not your mom and pop neighborhood grocery store that has to pay that tax. It's only the big boys.
I would love to hear what Carmen Rubio has to say about this.
Yeah.
I'd love to say, did you think that what you would think, that's bastardizing it. There we go. That's the word.
Bastardizing it.
That's.
And that PCF, those funds saved the whole city budget.
Well, I guess that kind of goes into the next.
Yeah. Yeah. I, that this is like the most successful tax we've ever levied in this state, in this city at least.
And that's a problem.
Maybe the other parts of the state.
That's a problem. It worked. Nothing. You can't. If it works here, get it out of here.
Yeah, we don't want it.
I'm like, okay, a little part of me is just like, damn, Winco, okay, I see you, you know, you okay.
It's a little suspect.
But also, I mean, I didn't even know that you could do that.
I mean, they can't, which is why they're getting sued.
I'm like really going to keep my eye out for any other store that I go to that I know is like a big box store.
Yeah.
If I see even a penny over, I'm calling the auditor myself.
Yeah, we're putting the receipt in the trash.
I'll snitch.
You look at the receipt. You got to read every line. Me, I did really well with returning on a receipt, and then I got a coupon that knocked down the price. They gave me more money back.
So basically, you're taxing them at that point.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about. Reverse tax.
Yes,
you've heard of reverse mortgages, but you've
I don't understand those either.
I don't know. Sherry's invented Sherry not to do us. That, though.
Hi, Sherry. Sherry's our board up. Okay. Any other local news items we ought to mention before going to our community question segment?
I think we're pretty good. Anything that you see here?
I think we're good. Let's remind the people that they can support KBOO Community Radio by going online to bit.ly/KBOO, giving us a little donation. You know,
views.
Winco might be paying out, but are you paying in to the community radio that you know and love? You can also text KBOO to 44321. You can mail a check to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. That's us. We'd love to get your mail. We love getting cards. A heartfelt sentiment.
And it's true. There's like a whole back area with cards, and they're hung up, and I look at them. Do I weep sometimes? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nice. Again, sentimental.
And thank you for your support and for being with us. Are we ready for a
very quick musical break?
Musical break. You're listening to The Gap. We'll be back in a moment.
Get up in the morning, slaving for bread, sir, so that every mouth can be fed. Oh, me Israelite, sir. In the morning, slaving for bread, sir, so that every mouth can be fed. Oh, me Israelite. When my kids up and I leave me, darling, she said I was yours to receive. Oh, me Israelite. Shut them a tear up, chose his ago.
And we are back here on KBOO Portland. This is The Gap. I'm Tammy, and with me is Althea.
Hello. It's the community question segment.
There we are. Question for the community. Open up the phone line so you can call on in and answer it. Question is, if you were going to write a guidebook, what would it be about? It can be anything.
Give us your wisdom that you would like to write down. You know, what do you got a comprehensive knowledge of that you could write a guidebook about? 503-231-8187. You can message us on the website, kboo.fm. There is a little chat with us button. It's active now. And you can also message us on Instagram. This is when I rattle them all off, okay? our Instagram handle is @thegapradio. You can send us a message there. You can also email us. Our email address is thegapradio@gmail.com.
Yes, I'm looking at it right now. The website looks great.
Okay.
The chat with us, it's been updated, it looks like.
Oh, maybe so.
I like it, yeah.
Our site has been a little... We're being very gentle with the website, and we're saying, thank you, don't fall apart, please, we love you. So, yes, you can click on the chat with us button and send us a message if you would like. If you were going to write a guidebook, what would it be about? What do you have guidance for the people on in terms of building a book?
503-231-8187.
What would you do, Tammy?
I would like to rewrite a guidebook for difficult people, how to not be a difficult person.
Oh, interesting.
Yes, yes. And I've been difficult for most of my life.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll give it to this hippie town. Chilled me out a lot.
Yeah.
Got to do a lot of introspection. Introspection, outrospection, middle sections. I don't know. And it's been definitely, I really sound so corny. It's been a journey. Oh my God, I sound like Trump.
You were doing it's, that.
I didn't mean to. Oh,
speaking of difficult people.
It's been a journey, and I couldn't be where I'm at if it wasn't for, no, but I think I definitely have a guidebook for
Sleepy
how to.
Sleepy Joe, I'm sorry.
On how to.
The voice is so fun to do.
I don't know where that came from. It came from. My heart.
The king of difficult people.
I guess I said difficult person, so yeah. It just came out.
You conjured the spirit of it.
How about you? If you could write a guidebook, what would it be about?
I don't know, but I... Well, okay, because I'm tempering it with the feeling of what would be useful to other people.
Sure, sure.
Because I have a lot of, you know, hyper-specific thoughts about what I do and how I do it.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe... I don't know. Like, even, like, exactly how I make breakfast in the morning, exactly how we set up for this show. Here's how we do it. And, you know, I'm flexible. I'm go with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's learning how to be go with the flow.
Oh.
Because that was a big sort of, like, thing that I overcame in my life.
See?
That book might already exist. But
gotta go with the flow.
We're going with the flow, people. He's not going with the flow. It's really, this is all just turning into meta commentary.
That is really important, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Letting things go. I mean, also just being able to, like, reflect on the things that, you know, I struggled with, you know, 10 years ago. And now being like, hey, you don't need to freak out about being the first one of your friends to show up to an event. You're meeting somebody for coffee. I can be there first now.
How about a guidebook for your younger self?
Guidebook for your younger self.
You know, knowing my younger self, I wouldn't listen. I was such a
You're
little
like, corny.
Jerk. I was horrible.
Who does she think she is writing me?
I know, it was horrible.
503-231-8187. If you were going to write a guidebook about anything, what would it be? Let us know. 503-231-8187. Or message us on the website, kbu.fm. Can I say something about guidebooks?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times I feel like they are too long. In the sense of, and maybe this is more a critique of the publishing industry, so you're on notice, the publishing industry. But, you know, they have a word count. They're like, or a page count. We want it to be 200 pages to be a real substantial book. I have a lot of respect for a zine or for, you know, like a little paperback.
Mm-hmm.
That's like every word in here is something meant, researched, understood, you know, as opposed to like, you know, you get to the back third and suddenly you're musing about stuff that you haven't done yet.
Sure,
you know,
yeah.
Or things that you think should be done, you know.
Like those like cooking recipes sometimes online. It's just like 15 paragraphs of this time you went to Peru and you ate this delicious food and it's like, can I just make it? Like, you should, I don't care about this, you know, one night stand you had in Peru as you tasted the yummiest paella ever. Get out of here.
Yeah, dial it back. No, I agree with that. I also think, I could maybe write a guidebook, not on what to do when you travel, but how to travel. Or like, there's like a frame of mind that I found to be very useful. And one extremely important thing.
You're just giving it away, right?
I'm giving it away.
Wow.
It's for the people. Donate to KBU if you appreciate it. But that you need to be extremely aware of your hunger level when you're traveling. And you need to remember to eat. And that's not to say you have to have a super itemized itinerary of like where you're going to be exactly down to the minute. But what often happens is you're wandering around, you're having fun, you're experiencing a new place, you're seeing new culture, you're meeting new people. How fun. But then you get way too hungry and you start getting desperate and hangry, and then you eat somewhere that's not even very good.
And they always get you. They know that they're like, here's $15 for a water bottle. Yeah.
It's expensive. Yeah. It's not good. It's not what you really wanted, you know, but you do it because you're desperate.
And you don't know anybody because you're in a new place.
And that dampens the experience in my other travel tip is wherever you're going, maybe you're just going to have a weekend with your friends or something, planning to have, you know, one nice meal. I'm very cheap.
Mm-hmm.
I like to do things in a thrifty kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
Planning to have one nice meal, you know, Those are my travel tips. That would go in my guidebook. We have somebody on the website messaging us, kbu.fm. Click on the chat with us button. Guidebook about navigating relationships to my younger self.
Wow.
That is... Well, I'm going to ask what would be in it, because I want to know.
I wonder, if you had to write a book, a guidebook for your younger self or for anyone, what would it be about? Wow, guidebooks. First thing I think of is IKEA, because they got, because they tell you how to build things, and it's always like,
there's that little cartoon guy.
Yeah, my guidebook would definitely have a lot of pictures.
Yeah,
and maybe like a pop up, some pop ups. There'll be one where you can just draw on it.
That's great.
It'll be very interactive.
Interactive
you
is important.
Take it with you. Waterproof.
Waterproof.
Not space proof though.
Not
waterproof.
Space-proof.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Well, we have Lou on the line. We're talking guidebooks. Hi, Lou. You're on air with us.
Good morning. How are you guys doing? Oh.
We're all right. What guidebook would you like to write?
Well, at Portland State, my school, we've been talking about writing books. Two of us actually wrote books. One, unpublished science fiction about nuclear war. We decided that's not a very... We don't know tons about that, but it was 255 pages. And then there's a woman, Jenny Abeling, A-B-E-L-I-N-G, who has a book that's published. And you can tell me if you think it fits your idea of a guidebook. It's a local publisher. They have 100 books. It's called A Kid's Book About Ink, is the name of the publisher. So Jenny, who works with Portland Grey Panthers, her book, I would say it's a guidebook. I have a copy of it. Is A Kid's Book About Nursing Homes, because she's worked on that a lot. Does that sort of fit your criteria, or not necessarily of a guidebook? It's for kids to read with parents or grandparents when they're in grade school. So it's the other things that publisher prints are things like A Kid's Book About the Tulsa Race Riot or things like that. It sounds like your ideas for guidebooks are more like lifestyle and how-to on personal knowledge. Would you say that's correct? Or?
Well, I think that there's, there's different ways to think about it. I think maybe that's what we were thinking from the get-go. But those books sound interesting and probably a helpful tool for, because here's the other thing. Kids know when you're talking down to them. Mm-hmm. They know. They kind of know when you're, not telling them something or you're keeping information from them. But there are topics that feel like, I don't know what to say, because it's uncomfortable even as an adult. But just having that baseline seems like it would be helpful.
Well, it also emphasizes intergenerational stuff. And some of the stuff at Portland Grey Panthers, which is traditionally an elder advocacy group, are things about organizing on the left. And it seems like this specific publisher tries to address some of those things. So we've been talking about two or three different things to work on, like if you're going to write a book. One would be a book about, or a guidebook, or a kid's book about boycotts. Because it's like boycotts.
Well, thank you so much, Lou. We appreciate it. There's a lot of good information out there if you're seeking it, 503-231-8187. We're talking about what guidebook would you write?
Have you ever heard of this book called How to Be an Explorer of the World?
No.
I think it's like Carrie Brown or something. I got it when I was a kid or younger. I was like a teenager. I was like, oh, this is so cool. It's an interactive book. And I didn't really use it, but it was like, sit at a park and look at 5 things and jot them down. It was like for all age groups, you know? And then I hadn't used it, but I gave it to a cousin or something. And I was like, whoa, we're both exploring, we're using the same book to explore the world, but through our different perspectives, but we're doing it together.
Yeah.
So it was like a personal experience, but also very, it brought us together because we're both using the same guidebook, but also using it for different, for different things, for how it works for us,
Yeah.
Which is neat. Highly recommend How to Be an Explorer of the World.
Very cool.
She also has one that's Destroy This Journal. Very neat.
Oh, yeah. Wreck This Journal.
Wreck This Journal, yeah.
I've done one of those. It's fun, and I feel that's maybe, I don't know that you need a whole guidebook about it, but I feel like, that's a guidebook and that it guides you how to do it, I guess. It's not telling you what to do, it's showing you how to do it. But, being a little less precious about art and creativity, We also have a message from the website. This person says, I would write a guidebook called Bro Tips, filled with little eco-friendly hacks, like making garbage bags out of disposable plastic material, rags out of old clothes, and getting every bit of the pasta sauce out of the saucepan by stirring the noodles around in there after you scoop out the sauce manually, so on and so forth. Just little ideas. You know, when our inspiration and our knowledge has to come from somewhere.
And then these little things that we pass on in ways of doing things smarter and more efficient, or ways of, a guidebook I would like to do, something maybe around like gardening and how to like garden without spending more than $50, you know, something like that.
I love that. I love that. And we have Arthur on the line. Hi, Arthur. You're on air with us.
Good morning. That gardening book sounds great. I met a couple from Germany at the Washington Park on a train, the MAX train, and I had a little extra money in my pocket, and I was trying to practice my German. I was born there. So I invited this couple to the Yamhill Pub. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that place is a little sketchy. I don't know if you've been there.
Yeah, surprised. Good for you.
Yeah, so I took him there, and in the man's broken English, he was talking to me in my broken German, and he said, "Do any tourists ever come to this bar?" I go, "Never." So my idea for a guidebook is to take people on very specialized Portland tours. Like, you go to the best bars at Yamhill, you take him to the forest, obviously Washington Park, and you take him underneath bridges to see where some people are living in their tents. You don't give them just a regular tour, you give them a tour of the things that make Portland stand out.
Yamhill Pub has its own Wikipedia page.
Well, it's a big deal.
It's the only
bar that hasn't kicked me out, so I gotta give them two thumbs up.
That okay. makes one of us. They do have an epic bathroom.
Okay, yeah. Good to know.
There's a joke for the day. I gotta go.
All right. Thank you, Arthur. We appreciate it. Top PBR seller in Oregon, they're saying.
Yeah, because I think they were like selling them for like a dollar or something.
Oh, that'll do it.
And then there's some other places that are selling beer for like $2 and had to stop because they're like, oh, this is, people are getting rowdy. Another guidebook, and I love that guidebook. Like I would love that type of guidebook for every place in America.
Yeah.
Like, see us from our eyes.
Sorry?
See us from our eyes.
I thought you were spelling something. I was like, what letter is from?
We're gonna working on it.
I'm losing it. I'm sorry.
Another guidebook comes to mind.
Guidebook.
Lisa Loving, street journalist.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's so detailed.
It's a very...
And also doesn't have all the thing where it's like, you know, where it's like a million words that's just like, you're just doing this for the word count.
Flowery
it's so
language.
Straightforward.
Yeah.
It's so useful. Mm-hmm. Like, really useful, like, guide you how to do things. It doesn't just give you a general idea, like the IKEA night table instructions, you know.
You're like, what the hell is this piece? It's not labeled. They gave me somebody else's screws.
And then they put everything in paint, give me words.
Yeah.
I appreciate you pictures. I love a good picture book. But a little words to say, do you twist it or do you hammer it?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know these washers and dryers.
503-231-8187. We're talking guidebooks. If you were going to write a guidebook, what would it be about? Let us know. You can also message us on the website, kbu.fm. You can email us. You can Instagram message us. We want to know, what guidebook would you write? I also appreciate in a guide or in instructions, or, you know, anytime you're telling somebody something, when there's a delineation between things that are like very specific and need to be done in X, Y, and Z way.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's like, this part is going to be a little bit more improvised. Here's generally what needs to happen in the next 10 minutes. You know, like I appreciate when it's like that. Like, when you can be honest about, if you're the person writing the instructions, like, I don't totally know what's going to happen at this part. Here's what you're looking for. Here's what to understand, you know? And understanding the why is so important, I think. Because I personally, and maybe this is just my brain, if someone's like, hey, do X, Y, and Z, I kind of resist it unless you tell me why.
Oh, I can't. I don't understand the instructions unless I have a why.
Yeah.
Like, I really, and maybe it's part of like being a little difficult or something, but it's like I need to understand the whole thing. Because whenever I do something half, it feels like half baked, and you're not really, it's like, how much of myself can I really, how much can I really, you know what I mean? Like, how much can I really do this properly when I don't know why I'm doing it? Or how can I even judge myself? Or, you know, what are my own personal standards if I don't know my why? Like, that's, that's what, didn't make a good soldier.
I do need to know why we're doing what we're doing.
Yes.
And we have another caller on the line. Hi, caller, you're on air with us.
Hi, how's it going? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. What guidebook would you write?
So, one of my biggest pet peeves are when people talk about what they would do if they won the lottery around me. Because when I was really young, my family did win the lottery. And it, like, honestly, if you don't have the right mindset, it will ruin your life. So when people are always talking about like, oh, I would do this and get this and this, you know, they don't think about like what family is going to come out of the woodwork and ask for like a brand new AC system or like your family's going to want you to take them on every cruise. And anyway, I would write a guidebook to people on how to handle large amounts of money in a responsible way. You know, to like sustainably give back to the community and not hoard it like a dragon or waste it all in 10 years like I personally watched my family do.
I think, you know, not a lot of people win the lottery, so I don't know if a publisher would take you up on that, but I think that
I'll do it.
Tammy's into it.
I got a printer.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. That is knowledge that I'm sure is out there, but is not, you know, well understood.
Yeah, thanks.
I love that. I would even read a book about that.
Yeah, no, I mean, like not. I'd prepare for winning the lottery by reading your book.
Right, it's manifesting. You're helping people manifest.
Yeah.
I love that. I think you should do it anyways.
Yeah.
I'll publish it.
Little zine, why not? Everybody should write a zine. That's my feeling.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Recycle your paper,
Well, thank you so much.
They're just mailing it to you.
Free
paper.
imagine, I'm just having like a whole movie production happening in my head about that last caller.
Yeah.
Man.
Well, because I think you hear some stories, but understanding it firsthand of what to do, what not to do. And that is true. You know, like people do, and I mean, I think we on the show have done grandiose kind of things of like, oh, here's what I would do. I would do X, Y, and Z, you know?
Which you can do it, but then what you do, sure, you have somewhat control, but what it's everyone around you does, it's kind of where you don't really have control on how other people react to your winnings, you know?
And that, you know, that it brings out a side of people that we don't often get to see. And, you know, suddenly you're in this position where you don't even really want to be in, you know? More trouble than it's worth.
Right, and it's not like it just kind of dropped, came to you.
And that anybody except somebody else that's won the lottery might have an interest in telling you what to do about it. And even if they're like, put it in a trust, don't touch it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You would trust someone who has won the lottery more than someone who hasn't.
Like, or you know, not a relation, not somebody I'm paying to manage my money. This is just somebody that has been through it before, says X, Y, Z, these are the things that I found to be useful. You know, don't listen to people who say this.
I would love to read that as like a personal narrative, kind of like a...
We're really supportive of you writing
in
this.
In a novel / guidebook type thing. Like, after you read my story, here are some things that I would recommend if you want the lottery.
I think you might need to write a memoir, actually. Sorry, you're on the hook for a memoir now.
I got you. $75.
Pretty penny for that. Send us an email when you write it.
I would love that.
thegapradio@gmail.com. We want to know. We also got another comment from the website from Carl. How to ignore guidebooks and enjoy an authentic life.
Oh, get out of here, guidebooks.
Get out of here.
I'm gonna touch this and see if it cuts me or burns me myself.
Ooh.
That's how we learn, though.
No teacher like experience.
You know, I'll leave you with this.
Okay.
You can learn common sense, but you cannot teach it. I learned that in the kitchens.
Yeah. Well, this has been a pretty fun conversation, I would say, thinking about what everybody's expertise would be. Thank you, everybody who called in. Before we go, do you want to let the people know about...
Oh, for sure, yes. Please feel free to donate. Support this type of programming and many more, news and views, anything in between and everything in between.
In between and outside of.
Outside of. Avant-garde.
Avant-garde.
Boom.
Alternative.
Alt. Modern. Avant-garde.
Yeah.
All KBOO stuff. Okay. You can go over to bit.ly, that's bit.ly/KBOO to make your donation. You can also make the regular donation, a text donation, by texting KBOO to 44321. And what else is there?
You can send us a check in the mail.
Oh, yes. We would love a check in the mail.
We're getting bills in the mail. You know what it's like when you get some money in the mail.
20 Do that Southeast for us. Ave, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Again, 20 Southeast Ave. Sorry, 20 Southeast 8th Ave, Portland, Oregon, 97214. It's been great. It's been fantastic. We'll see y'all next week.
I've been Althea.
I'm Tammy. Bye.
Bye.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of